Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
If the God of the Bible really exists, I would go gladly to hell. And anybody happy to go to heaven to worship such a creature is morally bankrupt.
It is because God's wrath is real that his mercy is relevant. Unless you have a real wrath, the biblical concepts of mercy and of grace are robbed of their meaning.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Coveting. There's an awful lot of coveting going on as we speak. Our pal, Josh, all the way from Australia to England, is at a shopping mall. Ray, you ready to go fishing?
I'm very excited.
Oh, Josh.
Oh, Todd.
Hey,
how you doing, mate?
How are you enjoying everything in Great Britain?
I am loving the country so far. I'm loving preaching to the police because they've been so friendly and open to the gospel. And the only thing I'm not liking is the weather.
Now, wait, hold on a second. Hold on a second. How many times, Ray, when you were down, say, for instance, in downtown London at Trafalgar Square, how many times did you get booted?
Well, the police jumped on me as soon as I opened my mouth.
All right, so what's your secret, mister?
Oh, we preach biblically? No.
Kidney punch. Ah.
No. Well, yeah, I know what the secret is. We stood up and preached, and we've had about 5 police officers come and speak to us, 4 of which said, please come back. We need you to do this some more. And when we preached outside Buckingham Palace, the police arrived, armed police arrived, and said that we weren't doing anything wrong, just let Scotland Yard know in future.
Really?
Well, that's wonderful.
Really?
We did have a lot of cameras with us. That probably freaked the police out.
Yeah, that could have been it, but even so, just being in the public square, they just tended to kind of move you along. Real quick. So, Josh, you are in the shopping mall where?
I am currently in Sheffield, which is in southern Yorkshire. And we're out here and we're actually talking to people about the gospel today and now, of course, doing phone fishing. We've got a young lady here named Charlotte. Now, Charlotte is an agnostic and she has no opinion about what happens after death.
Oh.
So this could be a nice conversation for you, you know, agnostic, and we know what the root word of agnostic is.
Josh, yeah, we do. But Josh, I'll bet you a meat pie she does have an opinion.
Mate, if you can get a meat pie to me here in Australia, into England, I will take that bet.
All right. All right. Excellent, dude. Let's have a chat with Charlotte, the agnostic, who doesn't know if there's a God, but I'll bet she's got an opinion, Ray.
Charlotte,
you're
on his brain. That's the guy you're
going to talk to. Hiya.
Hello, Charlotte. Thank you for coming on our program.
Hiya.
My name's Ray. How are you doing?
All right, thanks.
So you don't have any opinion on the afterlife? You don't think there's a place called heaven and a place called hell?
I'm not sure. I don't know. I think it's a bit of a weird subject because I think if there were like something like that then, or the one with God or something, there wouldn't be as much suffering or out. Do you understand what I mean?
Well, you might like to say it again a little slower. Could you say that again?
All right. I think there is in a way, but then in another way I don't, because I think if there were, then there won't be as much suffering or out. Do you understand what I mean? Like,
yeah, kind of. So let's pretend there is a place called heaven. We don't have too long. Do you think you're good enough to go there?
Probably, yeah.
You think you're a good person?
Yeah.
So how do you know if someone's good? I mean, someone might steal from someone and still think they're a good person. They might lie and still think they're a good person. Do you think someone who lies and steals is still a good person?
No.
Here's a question for you. Have you ever lied?
Probably, yeah, somewhere along the line. But
okay,
again,
Charlotte. What you call someone who tells lies?
A liar.
Uh-huh. Have you ever stolen something?
No.
You just told me you're a liar. So I want you to think about it. In your whole life, have you ever taken something that belongs to somebody else, even if it's small?
No, not without asking them.
Do you ask them and then steal from them?
No, I ask them, and then if they say yeah...
Okay, well, it's not stealing if you get someone's permission. Okay, now listen to this one. This really spoke to my heart many years ago. Jesus said, if you look with lust, you commit adultery in your heart. Have you ever looked at someone with lust? That is sexual desire.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the 7th commandment. So you've lied and you've committed adultery in your heart. Well, do one more. Have you ever used God's name in vain?
What do you mean by that?
Well, you just use God's name lightly without giving it respect to express how you feel, like GD or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Now, do you know what that's called?
I'm not sure.
Well, this is what it's called. It's called blasphemy, and the reason it's called blasphemy is because what you're doing is saying, okay, God, you gave me life, you gave me eyes to see with, ears to hear good music, you gave me a brain to think with, you gave me taste buds to enjoy good food, you lavished your goodness upon me, you gave me life, and I've used your name as a cuss word to express disgust. So it's very serious, and it's a violation of the third of the Ten Commandments, which says you should not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. So listen to this, Charlotte. I'm not judging you, but by your own admission, you're a liar, a blasphemer, and an adulterer at heart. So if God judges you by the Ten Commandments on the Day of Judgment, do you think you'd be innocent or guilty?
A bit, but in a way, I don't think there really is a God, so...
Well, I can help you with that one. Is there any buildings where you are?
Yeah.
Well, you know there's a builder when you look at the building, don't you? Buildings don't happen by themselves.
Yeah.
And you know there's a painter when you look at the painting, because paintings don't happen by themselves. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
And you know there's a creator because the whole of creation shows you there is. There's flowers, there's birds, there's trees, the sun, the moon, the stars. All around us we see the genius of God's creative hand. So each of us know there's a God. So to say I don't know if there's a God doesn't really hold water, because we've got a conscience, and our conscience tells us right from wrong, and the word conscience means with knowledge. Con is with, science is knowledge. So let's go back to the question. If God judges you by the Ten Commandments on the Day of Judgment, do you think you'd be innocent or guilty?
Guilty.
Would you go to heaven or hell?
Hell.
Now, does that concern you? Does it worry you that if you died today and God gave you justice, you'd end up in hell?
A bit.
A big
probably,
bit?
Yeah.
It's got to do a big bit, Charlotte. You love life, don't you?
Yeah.
How old are you?
16.
16. Well, you've had 16 years so far and you love it. And God's the giver of your life and he can take you when he wants. He can let you live to a ripe old age. So it's a good idea to do what he says. Now, you know what God did for us so we wouldn't have to go to hell. Have you any idea?
A lot.
Well, have you ever celebrated Christmas? Do you remember what happens at Christmas?
Yeah.
Whose birthday is it?
Jesus.
Okay.
God.
He's the Savior. God gave us a Savior. Unto us this day a Savior was born. A Savior is someone who can save you from sin and death and hell. And at Easter, we celebrate his suffering death on the cross. And when Jesus was on the cross, he was taking the punishment for all your sins, Charlotte. Everything you did wrong, Jesus was punished for by God. It's like this. You broke God's law, the Ten Commandments, and Jesus paid your fine so that God could dismiss your case. And he paid your fine in his life's blood. He suffered for you. He took the punishment for you. Do you know the Bible verse? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So God made a way for you to be forgiven so that he could legally grant you the gift of everlasting life, so he could forgive you all those sins that you've committed. And then Jesus rose from the dead, and what you've got to do is repent. Now, do you know what repent means?
Is it like change or...
Yeah, that's it. It's a complete change of mind and direction, where you say, okay, I've sinned against God, I'll no longer do that. And you turn from sins, you confess and forsake your sins. So that's repentance. And the second thing you've got to do to be saved from God's wrath is put your faith in Jesus. You know how when you step into an elevator, you actually put your trust into it? You don't just believe in it, you put your faith into it. And that's what you've got to do with Jesus. Put your trust in him as your personal Savior and your Lord. The moment you do that, Charlotte, God will forgive every sin that you've committed, all those secret sins that you thought no one had seen. God has seen them, and he can forgive them because of what Jesus did on the cross. But it's dependent upon your repentance and faith in Jesus. I'm going to let Todd speak to you. Todd's my friend.
Hey, Charlotte, how do you do?
Hiya.
Have you ever heard this before?
No, not really.
No, okay. Well, I guess then you've got a lot to think about today, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, we'd like to encourage you to do that. Do you have a Bible?
Yeah.
You should pick it up and give it a read, would you?
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, Charlotte, thank you for talking to us today.
Thank you.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye. Ray?
That was a kind of a broad accent, was it not?
I See, that's one of the shortcomings of witnessing over the telephone. You can't really tell physically what is going on with an individual. And believe it or not, being able to see a person is very helpful when you witness, is it not?
Oh, you've got body language. You've got their eyes to see what's going on in their soul. And so, yeah, it's very difficult. It's like witnessing blind.
All right. Nevertheless, while that can be helpful, it is always our job simply to proclaim it. How Charlotte responds, how your aunt responds, how your uncle responds, that's not up to you. So even though we are a little bit hobbled here by what we're able to understand about Charlotte, we simply proclaim the law. It helps people understand their sin. We proclaim the cross, forgiveness of sins, and repentance of faith. And then when all is said and done, whether their body language indicates they're interested or not, whether they say they're interested or not, you can simply go to bed at night and say, Lord, the rest is up to you. Because it's his job to do the converting. It's simply our job to do the proclaiming. So don't get yourself twisted in knots thinking, oh, they didn't repent. They didn't fall to their knees. Well, that would be lovely if they would. But that's not your job. We are simply the instruments, which is an awfully lofty position that God gives to us anyway, that he allows us to be the proclaimers and the preachers of his word. So simply do that, knowing that you have no strength or ability in your own words, but God will work through them if you proclaim it rightly. The law before the gospel, repentance and faith, and leave the converting to him.
This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for joining us today. Appreciate when you spend part of it listening to Wretched Radio. Appreciate our gospel partners, too. Their generosity not only allows us to be on the radio, the TV, and the internet, it not only allows us to develop those nifty resources, but it allows us to give some of those resources away, too. Hence, the more you give, the more we can give away. What Time is Purple is our evangelistic booklet that we will give to you, and all you do is pay for shipping and promise to give them away. Easy peasy. Get all the details at wretched.org/purple. All right? wretched.org/purple to get up to 20 copies of our evangelistic booklet to give away. Now, if you are a larger entity, say like a church or ministry, and you would like to give away, I don't know, something along the lines of a metric ton of copies, we can handle that too. You, though, should get a hold of al@wretched.org and he will fix you up. al@wretched.org. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
What two pastors go through to bring Bibles to their parishioners in the Philippines.
Two pastors, they had to rise up 3 a.m. and walk for 2 hours. And after that, they have to ride a bangka across the river for an hour and then walk again for 3 hours just to get hold of those precious Bibles. They will return in the same way again to bring those Bibles to people whom they are ministering.
That is what they go through. What must you and I do to bring those Bibles to believers around the globe? Pick up our phones. Call Bible League International. Would you do that right now? $5 per Bible. Could you send 7 per month? Call Bible League International right now, and they will be delivered to the hands of a believer. 1-800-YES-WORD. Just giving you a chance to write that down or to call it. 1-800-YES-WORD to bring Bibles to believers through Bible League International. 1-800-YES-WORD.
Thanks very much to the generosity of our monthly gospel partners. Now, if you watch or listen to Wretched on a regular basis, would you consider becoming a gospel partner? See, our content, what we do, is only available because of the generous support of our gospel partners. Thanks to them, you can find full Wretched radio and TV episodes at the home of all things Wretched, wretched.org, among many other free resources. You see, without our gospel partners, there is no Wretched. So, if you enjoy watching or listening to Wretched and would like to continue to do so, consider please becoming a Wretched monthly gospel partner. Visit wretched.org/donate for all the details. And please know that we will be faithful stewards of your money. Right now, 83% of every dollar goes to ministry work. Consider becoming a gospel partner. Go to wretched.org/donate.
Important dates in Christian history. 387 AD. Augustine of Hippo is converted. His writings became bedrock for the Middle Ages and were influential in the Reformation. The Confessions and City of God are still read by many. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Josh, what's going on, dude?
All right, guys, we're out here today in Sheffield in the United Kingdom, and we're actually out in a mall doing some one-to-one witnessing. We've got a young man here named Greg who's kind of an agnostic. Not really sure if that's what he holds to or not.
Ray, you ready to talk to Greg?
I'm excited to talk to Greg.
That's good to hear. Well, here's Greg. He's talking away.
Hi.
Hey, Greg. We appreciate you taking the time to come on our program. Thank you very much.
Hi.
So where are you from?
Since I was
11. Okay, and how old are you?
16.
So, tell me, what scares you in life? Have you ever had any near-death experiences or anything like that?
No near-death experiences. Not really.
What scares you in life? Tell me, is there anything that makes you fearful?
Death.
Oh, well, that's good, you to be honest. Everybody fears death. Now, listen, a lot of people are fearful or too embarrassed to say they're scared of dying, but I know that before I was a Christian, it was something that really bothered me. It made no sense at all that everything I held dear to me was going to be ripped from my hands by this thing called death. And there's something in me that says, oh, I don't want to die. I want to live. I love life. And why is this death going to seize upon me? And it made no sense at all. So have you found an answer to the problem of death?
Not really. Yes, I'm still looking, kind of.
You said you're an agnostic. Do you know what do you mean by that?
When, like, unsure of what you believe of. That's what I am at the moment. I'm not sure what to believe.
Would you like to be sure?
If it happens, like, I'll know when to start believing.
So do you think God exists? Is that what you're not sure about?
No, I'm not sure about that.
Okay, I think I can help you there. If you're a reasonable person, there's real good help here. Let me just reason with you for a moment. Greg, when you look at a painting, how do you know there was a painter?
I don't know.
How about the fact that the painting exists? You can't have a painting without a painter, okay? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, now let's go to a building and a builder. When you look at a building, how do you know there was a builder? You can't see him, hear him, touch him, taste him, or smell him. I mean, what proof is there was a builder?
You just know.
Well, the building is proof there was a builder. Buildings don't happen by themselves. So the actual building is absolute proof there was a builder. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, when you look at creation, how can you know there was a creator?
That's one thing I'm kind of unsure about.
Well, it's the same principle. You can't have a creation without a creator. You can't have things made without a maker. So all around us, flowers, birds, the trees, the sun, the moon, the stars, the seasons, the marvels of the human body, all these things have got incredible design to them, and they show us there's a designer. And another thing that can help you is the fact that you've got a conscience. You know that little voice inside you when you do wrong?
Yeah.
That's your conscience. Now, the word conscience means with knowledge. Con is with, and science is knowledge. So conscience means with knowledge. So you have knowledge of what is right and what's wrong. And that helps you know there's a God. That helps you know that you're a moral being. You're separate from the animals.
Yeah.
The thing that separates man from the animals is that he's a moral creation. He's made in the image of God, who is also moral and believes in right and wrong. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, so I want to ask you a few questions that will really help you sort this whole issue out, okay?
Yeah.
I want to explain to you what the cause of death is and what the answer to death is. So do you think you're a good person, Greg?
Generally, yeah.
Generally a good person, so your heart's good.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to put you on the stand. I'm going to be like a prosecutor. I'm going to ask you questions about that. And all you have to do is answer honestly, tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you, God. So let's do it. I'll ask you a few questions. I'm going to go through some of the Ten Commandments to see if you're a good person. Do you know what the Ten Commandments are?
I know some of them, yeah.
Okay, well, tell me the ones you know, and we'll just look at those ones.
Is thou shall not steal one.
Okay, well, let's go for that one. That's the Eighth Commandment. Have you ever stolen anything?
Yeah, as a little kid.
Okay, what do you call someone who steals things?
A thief.
Okay, now tell me another commandment.
Thou shalt not kill. I know that one.
Okay, have you ever killed anybody?
No.
have you hated somebody?
Yeah.
Well, the Bible says he who hates his brother is a murderer. So you've broken the sixth commandment and the eighth commandment. Do you know any more?
Nope.
What about you shall not lie?
Right, I've lied.
Okay.
Everyone lies.
So you've told lies. So what do you call someone who tells lies?
A liar.
Okay, now Jesus said, you've heard it said by them of old, you shall not commit adultery, which is the seventh commandment. But then he said, but I say to you, whoever looks upon a woman to lust after her, has committed adultery already with her in his heart. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust, sexual desire?
Yeah.
Okay, so you've broken the seventh. So we've looked at four commandments. Have you ever used God's name in vain, which is the third commandment?
Yeah.
That's a very serious crime in God's eyes. I'll tell you why. Greg, God gave you life itself. He gave you eyes to see with, ears to hear good music with. He gave you taste buds to enjoy good food. He lavished his goodness upon you, and you've taken his holy name and used it as a cuss word to express disgust, which is called blasphemy, and it's very serious. So let's just have a little summation here. By your own admission, you're a liar, a thief, a blasphemer, and an adulterer, and a murderer at heart. So if God judges you by the Ten Commandments on the Day of Judgment, do you think you'd be innocent or guilty?
Well, I think if God is supposed to be all-knowing and all-loving, he'll learn to forgive. That's what I believe, if he is real.
Okay, now here's you've just broken another commandment. Do you know what it is?
Nope.
It's the second commandment. And this is what it is. You shall not make yourself a graven image. That means you shall not make a god to suit yourself, either with your hands or your mind. And in the old days, they used to make idols. Well, they still do in a lot of countries. They make wooden or stone idols, and they bow down to them. We don't make a god with our hands. We make a god with our mind. We create a god that we feel comfortable with. And you say, I think God is like this. He's all-loving. When the Bible doesn't say God's all-loving, nowhere in the Scriptures does it say he's all-loving. It says he's a god of justice, a god of righteous, and a god of truth. And he set aside a day in which he'll judge the world in righteousness. And he won't forgive murderers just because they say, oh, I'm sorry, or rapists. He won't forgive thieves or liars or blasphemers or fornicators just because they say, I'm sorry. So it's very important to understand that, because there's only one way you can get God's forgiveness.
What's that?
I'll tell you in a minute. So, you'd be guilty on the Day of Judgment?
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So, on that basis, do you think you go to heaven or hell?
Go to hell.
Does that concern you? Because you're right, the Bible says all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. Does it concern you that if you died today, Greg, you'd end up in hell?
Yeah, it just concerns me, but I'm not sure I believe in it.
Yeah, well, see, think for a moment what we've looked at. We've looked at the fact that you've got a conscience, that God exists because of creation, that you've violated the commandments, so you've got every real reason to believe that what I'm saying is true. Man, I wouldn't lie to you about something as serious as this. If you say it's not true, you're saying, well, God doesn't believe in justice. You're saying the Bible is completely wrong. Jesus Christ was a liar, and all Christianity is an absolute lie, because Christianity says God is just and holy, and he's going to punish crime on that day of judgment. Now, this is where it'll begin to make sense. You know, you said you're fearful of death?
Yeah.
The reason you're going to die is because you've broken God's law, the commandments. God himself, the judge of the universe, proclaimed the death sentence on you. You're like a criminal standing in a court of law, and the judge has just condemned him to death because of his crime. It's very serious. Well, God condemned the whole human race to death because of our crimes. It says in Scripture, the wages of sin is death. The soul that sins, it shall die. But here's the good news, Greg. This God who is just and holy is rich in mercy, and he sent his Son. God provided someone who can save us from sin and from death. When Jesus was on the cross, he was giving his life as a sacrifice for the sin of the world. In other words, he was taking the punishment for the crimes or sins that you have committed, Greg. All those crimes you committed against God, God's anger came down upon Jesus so it wouldn't have to come down upon you. Take it into the courtroom. You broke God's law, and Jesus paid your fine in his life's blood. That's how much God loves you. And then Jesus rose from the dead. Death couldn't hold him. And now what God requires of you is your repentance. That is, you say, God, I'm going to turn from my sins. You don't just say, God, I'm sorry, but you actually stop sinning. You don't lie as a Christian. You don't steal. You don't look with lust. You say, God, help me to have pure eyes, and you walk in repentance. And the second thing you must do is trust in Jesus. You know, when you step into an elevator, you don't just believe in it. You put your trust into it. And that's what God wants you to do with the Savior, Jesus Christ. So you've got to repent and trust in him. Now, here's the amazing part. The moment you do that, Greg, God will forgive your sins. He'll grant you the gift of everlasting life. And he'll help you to overcome your fear of death. Because until you come to Jesus Christ, you're going to be tormented by the fear of death. The book of Hebrews says that. Hebrews 2, verse 14 and 15 says that all your lifetime you'll be subject to torment or the fear of death. But the moment you become a Christian, your faith or your trust will help you overcome that fear. And so, because you'll know you have everlasting life because God grants that everlasting life to you, gives you his Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? I know it's a lot for you to think about.
Yeah, it does. The radio interview is just some sort of attempt at trying to convert me into Christianity.
Oh, absolutely. I want to know what you believe, and I want you to think about your eternal salvation, because, Greg, you don't know when you're going to die. Today you could die. 150,000 people die every 24 hours, 150,000 people. And we want you to think about your salvation, think about your sins, listen to your conscience, and then think about what Jesus Christ did for you on that cross. And we hope that you come to your senses and surrender your life to him. So please think about it, Greg. Thank you very much for talking to me. I'm very grateful for you being open and honest and sharing your heart. Okay?
All right.
Thanks, Greg.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, well, there we go. Asked and answered. You guys trying to convert us to Christianity? Yes. Yes, we are, young man. And we're trying to convert you, too, if you're listening and you're not saved. Come on. It's a free gift, that conscience that's been nagging you. Listen to it. It can be cleansed if you repent and trust the Savior today.
This is Wretched Radio.
SOS Ministries wants to see a movement take place within God's church in Uganda. They want to see God-fearing, Christ-proclaiming churches rise up across the country and impact the whole of the Ugandan society. To reach out nationwide, they have the Ministry of Church Strengthening and the Shepherd's Training Center to thoroughly equip indigenous pastors. But without the consistent support of God's people, none of this is possible. If you can help support SOS Ministries, go to sosministries.com. sosministries.com. This is Wretched Radio. Hi, I'm Tony Verkennis. A religious liberty law firm last week warned 55 Pennsylvania school districts to remove or modify policies restricting students' rights to share their religious beliefs. Attorneys for the Independence Law Center, which is affiliated with the Pennsylvania Family Institute, sent a letter to the districts outlining ways school policies and student handbooks target religious freedom. Jeffrey Simic, senior counsel for the law firm, says that instead of equal treatment, many schools have treated students' religious speech like dangerous asbestos to be cordoned off and eliminated from our schools. He pointed to the Pine Richland and Wilkinsburg school districts, both near Pittsburgh, which effectively forbid students from saying that their religious viewpoints are correct, even while allowing speech asserting the superiority of a political idea, environmental policy, or football team. Samick said school administrators and teachers should view religious expression by students as a teaching opportunity. The letters asked the schools to immediately cease enforcement of unconstitutional policies, remove the offending language, and enact new policies by April 1st. Samick said responses he's received from the school district so far are encouraging. This is not so encouraging. The Denver Post fired a popular columnist last week for stating, "Sex is binary." Thank you, Captain Obvious. The Colorado newspaper, which has suffered from a shrinking readership and cuts in staff, last week booted John Caldara, its best-read writer in 2016, after he wrote a column criticizing Colorado Democrats for a lack of transparency in hospital billing and their sex education curriculum. Democrats, quote, "don't want education transparency when it comes to their mandate to convince your kids that there are more than two sexes, even if it's against your wishes." The libertarian and supporter of same-sex marriage told an alternative newspaper in Denver he believes an earlier column is what initially got him in hot water with his editor. Early in January, he argued that the Associated Press style book, The Spelling and Grammar Manual for Journalists, promoted a liberal bias by updating its style guidance to say gender is no longer binary. Caldera's voice won't be silenced, though. The president of the Independent Institute think tank and host of Devil's Advocate with John Caldara on Colorado Public Television will now write the columns for Colorado Politics and the Gazette in Colorado Springs. Sex is not binary. Wow. Oh, and if you thought it wouldn't happen, it has. The controversy over Drag Queen Story Hour, once confined to public libraries, moving into the public schools, at least in New York. Responses to the tweet about Drag Queen Story Hour included, "This kind of thing has to stop. It's so wrong. Doesn't anyone in authority care about the children, or do they only care about advancing their political agendas?" Easy answer on that one, sadly. More Wretched Radio straight ahead. I'm Tony Verkennis.
Books of the Bible. 2 Samuel tells about King David's reign over Israel. Even though David was a man after God's heart,
he still gave in to temptation and suffered bitter consequences. Yet David repented of his sin and was forgiven by God. Remember, there is only one perfect and faultless King, Jesus Christ.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Time to go fishing.
Are you ready to go?
Love to go hit the streets somewhere in Australia. Why? Because we've been given the gospel, we've been told to preach it, and people are perishing.
Come on, y'all, now let's go listen. The way of the master is for you to go fishing. Not the kind of fishing that you do in a river, because the baby uses the message to deliver.
We are supposed to be fishers of men. How do you do that? Well, we hope that is what you will hear modeled here. Ray, are you ready to go fishing?
I'm ready to go fishing, Tom.
Reese is, well, quite honestly, I have no idea where he is. Oh, Reese.
Hey, Todd, how you going, mate? I'm here at Greensboro Shopping Centre, mate, in a food court. There's people going nuts over food and whatever. And I'm here with my mate, Joel, and he's ready to talk to whoever.
And boy, won't he be surprised. All right, dude, pass over the phone, Reese at the food market. All right, Ray, Joel, Ray.
Joel?
Hello.
Thanks for coming on the radio. I really appreciate you taking that step. Hey, I've got a question for you, Joel. It's a kind of deep question. What do you think happens after someone dies? Where do they go to? Have you ever thought about it?
Probably they just die and black out. Like, you're unconscious, like asleep. You're asleep.
You just go to sleep? Do you dream?
Yeah, you dream.
And what do you dream about?
What your life could have been if you'd had changes, or I'm not sure.
Well, where do you get these thoughts from? It sounds like you're a thinker, which is great. Where do you get these thoughts from? If someone told you
I don't know. Just think a lot, I guess.
Do you think there's a heaven and a hell?
Well, not quite heaven and hell, but I think everybody's just equal. But there are bad and good people. But I'm not sure.
Well, what do you think about Adolf Hitler? Do you think he's a good person or a bad person?
He's a bad person.
So would he go to heaven or hell, do you think?
Hell.
So you think there's a hell and bad people who go straight to hell?
Yeah.
Who then goes to heaven, Joel?
All the good people.
So who's that? Name some good people.
I'm not sure. Me?
Did you say me?
Yeah.
Hey, Joel, I appreciate your honesty because we all think we're kind of good. Hey, here's another question for you. Do you think God made men or do you think we came from apes?
I think we evolved, yeah.
Why do you believe that?
All the documentaries I've seen, all the documentaries.
On television?
Yeah.
So do you believe everything you see on television?
No, not everything, but I believe what I've seen about the documentaries.
Yeah. How old are you, Joel? Yeah.
I'm 16.
And Joel, do you believe in God and his existence?
I believe in Jesus.
You do?
But, yeah.
Why?
Because I believe there's someone out there that's got to be like Jesus was. So I believe in Jesus, but not quite God. But, yeah, Jesus.
That's very unusual, because the Bible says that Jesus was God in human form. So do you believe the Bible's right when it says that God became a man?
That Jesus was the chosen one?
Yeah, the Bible says that Jesus, this is how it puts it. God, without controversy, God was manifest in the flesh. In other words, God created himself a body, and that was Jesus, and he lived a perfect, sinless life. There was no one like him. He said some amazing things like, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he dies, yet shall he live, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. So you were a believer in Jesus, but you don't know if God exists.
Yeah, well, I don't really know the Bible that well, so.
Well, it's good to hear you talk like that. Yeah. Do you know how to know that God does exist? Do you know there is proof of God's existence?
Yeah.
Well, this is how to know God exists. If you look at a building, the building is proof there was a builder. If you look at a painting, the painting is proof there was a painter. You can't have buildings build themselves and paintings paint themselves. There must be a builder and there must be a painter. Well, creation proves scientifically there was a creator. You can't have creation without a creator. So, Joel, I've got a real interesting question for you.
Yep.
Where do you think you're going to go when you die?
In a coffin.
But do you think you'll go to heaven or do you think you'll go to hell?
Yeah, I reckon I'll go to heaven.
You think you'll go to heaven? And here's the big question, why?
Yep. Because
I've never done anything wrong. I've made a 16, but so far I haven't done anything wrong. Or
you
too
haven't
bad
done,
to anybody.
You haven't done anything wrong. Okay,
well,
let's do a little good test. We've got a little test to help people understand
okay. All
these
yeah.
issues. So I'll ask you a few questions to see if you can get it, if you're going to heaven. Okay?
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Here's the first question. Have you ever told a lie?
Yeah.
What do you call someone who tells lies?
A liar.
Have you ever stolen anything in your whole life, even if it's small?
Yep.
And what do you call someone who steals things?
Stealer.
A thief. Have you ever used God's name in vain? Even once. Well, you just use God's name without giving it due reverence. Or you say, oh, G-O-D.
Oh, yeah.
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 That's
yeah.
called blasphemy. Where you take
yep.
the holy name of the God who gave you life and use it as a curse word to express disgust. It's a very serious
yeah.
crime, and it's called blasphemy.
Yep.
And here's the last
yep.
question in these four questions, Joel, and I really appreciate your honesty.
Yep.
Jesus said, whoever looks upon a woman and lusts after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust, sexual desire?
Yeah.
Okay. So listen to this, Joel. By your own
yep.
admission, you're a lying, thieving, blasphemous, adulterer at heart, and you have to face God on Judgment Day. If he judges
yeah.
you by the Ten Commandments, and we've only looked at four of them, if he judges you
yep.
by the Ten Commandments on the Day of Judgment, do you think you'll be
yep.
innocent or guilty?
Probably guilty.
Well, you drop the probably, you would be guilty. Lying, thieving, blasphemy, adultery of the heart, you'd
yeah.
be guilty. Would you go to heaven or hell if you were judged by that standard?
Judged by that, probably hell.
Well, drop the probably. The Bible says
yeah.
all liars will have their part in
yeah.
the lake of fire. No thief, no blasphemer, no adulterer
yeah.
can enter God's kingdom. So, Joel, does it concern you that if you died today as a 16-year-old, you dropped dead in your sleep, you had an aneurysm or had a car accident or a heart attack, if you died
yeah.
today, you'd spend eternity in hell? Does that concern you?
Nah, not really.
It doesn't?
Nah.
This is what Jesus said, and this is the Jesus you
yeah.
believe in. He
yep.
says, hell is a place of terrible and eternal torment. The Bible speaks of a place where you'll receive anguish because God is going to punish liars and thieves and murderers and adulterers and rapists and blasphemers. And he's going to
yep.
punish them in a way that they'll regret and have remorse because God is a just and holy judge. And the scriptures say it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Joel, I don't even know you. I would hate
yeah.
you to go to hell. It would grieve
yeah.
my heart that a guy like you, who's honest enough to admit his sin, says, oh, I don't care if I go to hell forever. Of course you care. You want to live. You wouldn't sell one of your eyes for $1 million, would you?
No.
Would you sell both for $100 million?
No.
Well, look how much your life must be worth. If your eyes are without price, how much more must your soul, your very life that looks out of those eyes, be worth?
Yeah.
So I'm sure you care if you go to hell. So let me ask you again, does it concern you that if you died today, you'd end up in hell for eternity?
Yeah, it does concern me.
Yeah, I appreciate you saying
yeah.
that. Now, do you know what God did for humanity so that we wouldn't have to spend eternity in hell? God did something wonderful. Do you know what he did?
No.
Well,
no,
have you ever celebrated Christmas?
Yeah.
Whose birthday was it?
Is it Jesus' birthday?
Uh-huh. Now, why did Jesus come to this earth? Any idea?
Because God wanted to put somebody good on the earth.
Well, God became a person in Jesus, and Jesus came to this earth specifically to die for the sin of the world. The
yeah.
Hark the Herald Angels Sing, it says, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Jesus came to this earth to die on that cross to take the punishment for the sin of the world. And when he was on the
yeah.
cross, he was punished for the sins that you and I have committed. The sin of the world was laid upon him. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He paid your
yeah.
fine in his life's blood. You broke God's law, the Ten Commandments, and Jesus paid your fine. That means God
yeah.
can dismiss your case, Joel. God can commute
yeah.
your death sentence. He can allow you to live because of the death and resurrection of the Son of God. Now, what you
yeah.
must do is not just believe in Jesus. You've got to
yeah.
repent and put your trust in him. And by repentance,
yeah.
that means you say to God, God, I'm so sorry for my sins, and you turn
yeah.
from them. No more lies, no more blasphemy, no
yeah.
more stealing, no more lust. You say, I'm going to, God, with your help, put a stop to sin. I don't want to be a hypocrite. And then you're going to put your faith in Jesus as you trust a parachute to save you. You've got to put your faith into Jesus. And the moment you do that, Joel, God says he'll forgive your sins and grant you the gift of everlasting life. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Yeah. So, Joel, I thank you so much for listening. Get right with God. Let Jesus forgive your sins. Let him wash you clean and let him give you a new heart with new desires. Joel, thank you again for listening. Open the Bible at the Gospel of John. There's a guy named Reese there. He perhaps can give you some information and talk further with you. But thank you very much for your honesty and for talking with me. God bless you, Joel.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, I don't know who that kid is, Ray, but I'm sitting here praying like nobody's business, tender-hearted, never heard the gospel, with a Bible in the house, going to church as a kid, and never hearing the gospel.
Never reading the Bible.
Well, he's heard the truth now. Please pray for Joel, because I got to tell you something. It's pretty rare when a 16-year-old isn't a little feistier than that, so pray like nobody's business. This is
Wretched Radio. Let's go to Eastern Europe for yet another great story coming out of the Tomorrow Clubs.
Andrea was left by her mother when she was 3 months old. The Tomorrow Club director decided to pray for this girl and she repented. She used to be a sad-looking kid. Now, seems like that smile never comes off her face.
So many kids are abandoned by parents who need to go to other countries to make a living. They donate their organs. They leave the kids. They are lost physically and spiritually. And the Tomorrow Clubs finds them. They teach them the gospel. They help them to memorize Bible verses. They even will help them with their family lives. It's a magnificent ministry, story after story coming out of Eastern Europe. $30 a month, 30 disciples. Tomorrow Clubs is the ministry. Would you please consider supporting a club of your own? Tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Without sounding too much like a mafia don, here's an offer you can't refuse. Wretched would like to give you up to 20 copies of our evangelistic booklet, What Time is Purple? And Other Intriguing Questions on the Road Trip to Truth. You heard me right. We want to give you these beautiful, thorough gospel booklets. But there are two strings attached. Well, really tiny strings. More like fishing line. Actually, thread would be better. You pay for shipping only, and you promise to give them away to the atheist or agnostic in your life who believes that evolution disproves the existence of God. Go to wretched.org/purple today and get your copies of What Time is Purple. It's also a great idea for the student in your life who's heading off to school or anyone who doubts that the Bible is true. Get your copies of What Time is Purple at wretched.org/purple. And thanks very much to the generosity of our gospel partners who make this giveaway possible.
No doubt if you've spent even a minute listening to conservative media, you have been whipped into a frenzy. The problems with our society, the collapse of a culture, the statistics, the legislation. We got to do something about this. But then we're never told what to do. I believe the greatest social ill of our time is the war against the unborn. Millions of children being killed in our country during our lifetime. And we can do something about it, and we can practically get engaged in the war for life. Preborn.org/wretched, $28 will provide an ultrasound 80% of the time. It saves the life of a child. Let's not just be righteously indignant. Let us do something to save lives. The women hear the gospel, they receive support, and they choose life. $28 for an ultrasound. Preborn.org/wretched.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teaches us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Wisdom of God. The Wisdom of Man says we can earn God's favor through good works, but the Wisdom of God is made known in Jesus Christ, God in human flesh, put to death on the cross to grant us forgiveness we cannot earn. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
All right, it's that time when we like to go out into the streets somewhere and talk to a complete stranger. Now, if you are thinking, oi, witnessing to a complete stranger. I could never do that. Well, I have some good news and some bad news for you. The bad news is witnessing to your loved one is even harder. The good news is it's not as daunting if you know how to witness biblically. And that way is...
Lord of the proud, grace to the humble. But I want to ask a question. Can a Gentile say oi as well?
Just did.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go check in with York, who's, I do believe, in Sydney. Hello, York.
Yeah, we're in Sydney, and we're still on the Manly Corso, and we found Neville. Neville's 74, and he's come down with his wife to do a bit of shopping and walk around the Corso. And he belongs to a Catholic church, and he's happy to speak to you on the radio.
Okay, now, Ray.
Mm-hmm.
He's 74 years old,
mm-hmm.
and he's Catholic. Is there any point in talking to this fellow?
Yes, I just went deaf when he said he's Catholic. I used to get intimidated. If someone says, I'm a Catholic, I think, oh, transubstantiation, Mariology, papal infallibility, oh, purgatory, horrors. And now I just didn't hear.
Because?
Because I don't need to get caught up in that stuff. I'm just going to talk directly to Neville's conscience. And if it comes up, we'll deal with it. But I'm going to try and ignore it because I didn't hear him say he was a Catholic.
Or a Lutheran or a Baptist.
Absolutely.
Or a Pentecostal, a Charismatic. It just doesn't matter. What we want to do is simply ask some questions to discern as best we can if the individual is saved, what their testimony is, because so many people who call themselves a denomination don't have the foggiest idea of what it means to be a Christian, and their life reflects their ignorance. So, York, are you ready to go?
Okay, I'll hand you over to Neville.
All righty.
Hello, I'm Neville. How are you?
All right. Hey, Neville, it's nice to meet you. I'm so glad that you're willing to join us on the radio.
That's all right. You're welcome.
Now, you've got 74 years of life experience. That's a long time, sir.
That is, yes.
I want you to tell me, I'm a young whippersnapper. I want you to tell me what is the most important thing that you have learned in your entire 74 years of living.
Oh, that's very difficult, but I think it's just live and let live.
Live and let live. So that would be the advice that you'd give.
We're a multicultural nation here, and just in the Corso here in Manly, it's different to when I grew up, but it's better than when I grew up.
Okay, Neville, if you knew that somebody was in grave danger, and you knew it for a fact, would you not talk to them about it because you just didn't want to impose your beliefs on them?
A grave danger and your beliefs are two different things. If you thought they were in grave danger, you'd be negligent not to do anything about it.
Yeah, that's exactly...
That's not putting your beliefs on them. It's just trying to save their life.
Right. Now, Neville, what's the difference between trying to save somebody from being run over by a truck and by trying to save somebody because their religious beliefs are wrong? Why can't you do both things?
People think differently. Now, I don't know what you think, but religion's fact and it's belief. Now, people can accept facts, but they can't always accept your beliefs. Now, if I'm in an argument and they think my beliefs are stupid, well, I'm going to get my back up, aren't I?
So what I hear you saying is that in the realm of belief, it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you believe it, because belief is not reality. Is that what you're saying?
It is reality to me.
Let me just see if that makes sense, okay?
Yeah.
I'm going to give you a scenario, and let's see how we figure this out together, okay?
Right, I'll go on.
All right. Here's my belief, all right? My belief is someday, Neville, we're all going to die. And someday you're going to die, just like the rest of us, and this is what I believe, Neville, that you will be that you'll be judged by God himself.
Yeah.
And if you've sinned against the God of the Bible, he's going to send you to a place called hell. Okay?
Yeah.
All right. Now, let's say that you don't believe that. But my belief says you are going to be judged. And you say you're not going to be judged. What's going to happen? Now we've got two beliefs colliding. Which one wins?
On the day of judgment, you'll find out, won't you?
Yeah.
And you'll never know before then.
Yeah, but you get my point, right?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Look, we think differently. I think life is created. Other people think it's evolution, but I believe in creation. But that's just the way I am.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's either what one of you is right or one of you is wrong.
If I believe in evolution, I don't believe in hell, do I?
Okay, so if somebody believes in evolution, you would say they are wrong, correct?
Well, to my way of thinking, yes.
Yeah.
But we won't know the answer till we die, will we?
Okay. Fair enough. So you're willing to say that somebody's wrong?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Neville, then come with me on just a little bit of a journey right now. All right?
Yeah, go on.
Let's say that you did die and you stood before God and he judged you. and he opened up your entire life, and he saw every single thing that you've ever done in darkness, in the light, the things that you failed to do, things like looking with lust. Have you ever done that?
Yeah, but now I might be able to cut it short. I believe in a merciful God.
Just hold that thought for just a moment, okay, Neville?
Yeah.
Okay, so the books are opened on you, and he knows every time you've told a lie, every time you've stolen something, every time you've looked with lust.
Yeah.
What should God do with you?
That's beyond me.
Well, I don't think this is. I know what you're saying, that a lot about God is beyond us, but I don't think this is.
Yeah.
If he's a judge and you're a criminal and you've broken the laws, should God send you to heaven or to hell?
Yeah, I can't answer that.
Well, sure you can.
Because I believe in a merciful God. I believe I should be punished, but hell is eternal, and I don't believe in that.
You don't?
I think we should be judged.
Okay, so what do you? Why should God have mercy on you?
Well, we've got human frailty. You know, we're not perfect.
Oh, I agree with that. Yeah, I think we're way less than perfect. I don't know about you.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I do, but I'm very far short of perfect. So shouldn't God send me to hell?
Well, I'm not running it. He is. I'm not going to tell him how to think.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. Here, I'll confess this. I know for a fact that God should send me to hell because I know that I've broken his laws. I know that.
Yeah.
And that's what he should do with lawbreakers because that's the just thing to do.
And if you think that way, you would despair.
You're right.
Wouldn't you?
You bet we would. We'd be very hopeless.
So I don't despair.
Why not? Why do you have hope, Neville? Why do you have hope?
Look, I only know what the average guy learns in scriptures and whatever. I'm not highly religious, but I do believe.
All right. Okay, let's see if this rings a bell, okay?
Yeah, perhaps the conversation should be more with a theologist.
No,
I'm not equipped to answer these questions.
No, you're doing. You know what? You know what? No, I don't want to talk to a theologian. I want to talk to you because these aren't great lofty concepts. This is just stuff that everybody should think about, and you have thought about this. And I just want to know what you think. I don't want to know what a theologian thinks. I want to know what you think.
No.
All right. So Neville, can you and I agree that if we've broken God's laws, he should send us to hell, but he's merciful, and the but if God just said, I'm merciful, I'm going to let you go without your fine being paid, that would not be just, correct?
Well, if I've done the wrong to someone, it's up to them whether they forgive you or whether they don't. I don't have a say in that.
Right, but if you were brought into a court of law, and you were definitely guilty, and the judge just said, well, I'm going to be mercy and let you go. Uh-oh, we've got a big problem because he's sworn to uphold justice. And if God just said, well, I'm going to let everybody go, that wouldn't be fair or right. But here's the good news.
Life is not black or white. There's shades of gray in it.
Well, here's the good news. Here's the good news, and I think you know this, Neville, that God is just and he is good and he demonstrated his kindness and paid your fine, not by waving a magic wand, but by sending his son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross to take the punishment for your sins.
Well, I'm just glad I'm living in an area that that's occurred, aren't I?
Yes, we are. I definitely am.
Yeah.
So the good news is the reason that we can have hope is that we have somebody who died to rescue us from God's wrath so that we can be saved on the day of judgment, so that we can stand before God and he'll take us to heaven, not because we've been good people, but because we've been bad people who've been forgiven by a very good God. Does that make sense?
Yeah, well, we're very lucky people, aren't we?
I would say at the very least we're lucky. But Neville, here's the big here's the big thing. The good news is you're exactly right. We can have hope. Our sins can be forgiven, but God commands us to do something in response to the good news of the gospel. Do you know what you must do to be saved?
Love your neighbor, you know, and if you did that to the letter of the law, you wouldn't do any harm to anyone.
Yeah, but that's not going to get your sins forgiven. Here's the deal.
No, it won't undo anything, but it'll save you doing it again, perhaps.
Well, it's like, let's say that there's money in the bank. You can't just believe in the money in the bank. You need to get the money out. You need to access
the
money.
But now, I wouldn't rob a bank, not because it's wrong, it's because of the fear of getting caught.
Right, and I don't want you to rob the bank either, but forgiveness is available, but the Bible says that you must repent. What does the word repent mean?
Make amends.
Well, it you can't make amends. It means that you say you're sorry. You recognize that you've broken the laws, and you say you're sorry, and then you turn from your sins, from your wrongdoing, and you put your trust in Jesus Christ. The Bible says that if you'll apologize and turn from your sins and put your trust in Jesus, then God will forgive all of your sins. That's the good news of the gospel, Neville. All of your sins can be forgiven. 74 years of sins gone, wiped away, cleansed, totally forgiven, but you must repent and put your trust in Jesus Christ. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, yes.
Okay, that's your good news for the day. Would you think about that today?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
All right. Hey, Neville, thank you for talking with me.
You're welcome.
Okay, goodbye. Ray?
Yeah.
I'm exhausted.
He was a character.
Oh, yay, yay. Neville. Neville is such a good example of somebody who kind of knows, kind of, you know, parts of it here and there, a little bit, but it's never been presented in a way where it makes sense. So that's why we preach the law, then the gospel.
Until next time, go serve your king.